I'll read a passage from the 26th chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. That's reading from verse 12, continuing through verse 20 of the 26th chapter of Acts. Now, Paul was a very important man. He was a picked-out man, a chosen man in the gospel. And though he said he was the least among the apostles, in my mind, he was perhaps the most or one of the most outstanding of them all. God had a special commission for him, and he was sending him to the people that had not had the oracles of God as the Jews had had, and the purpose was to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and to bring them into a condition and position where they could receive an inheritance among all those who were sanctified by faith in Christ. This 17th verse contains the basic thought that I want to deal with this morning. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Delivering thee from the people. Now, folks, if we're going to make a success of living for God, this matter of living for God is unique. It stands in a class all by itself. We might make successes or failures for this cause or that in business ventures or in our undertakings in this life, but this matter of living for God stands in a class all by itself. And if you're going to make a success of this, it's very important that you be delivered from the people. We read in the 29th chapter of Proverbs, verse 25, "The fear of man brings a snare." There's possibly nothing any more effective and influential in one's spiritual life, and possibly nothing quite such a great hindrance to us in our spiritual life as the knowledge of the fact that we're living among other people, and that we have other people to deal with. We get affected in our thinking by what people's going to think and how they're going to react to what we do and what we say. And we get all cramped up, afraid we'll say the wrong thing, so we don't say anything. And afraid we'll do the wrong thing, so we do nothing. And we're not effective in our service for God because we fear the people. We need to be delivered from the people. You, me, and everybody else that's going to endeavor to live for God needs to be delivered from the people. Now, Paul was a very efficient and effective minister of the gospel. And he accomplished great things for God, but the very secret of it was right back there in the start. He got delivered from the people. The fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man will tie you and me up. It'll bring us into bondage. It'll hinder our liberties and our freedoms in the Lord. I speak from the standpoint of experience, knowing what this means, because there was a time that I was in strong bondage to one man. And that went on for 8 years. The night this happened, I was out of order, and I was conscious of it. I got up with a message, but without inspiration. And I never lacked for anything to say, but I was conscious it wasn't going farther than that. Just falling empty words. That was bad. But this brother minister became so exercised about that, and he carried on so much about it, that whipped me worse than having gotten up out of order. And I fell under bondage to this man. And it was for 8 years that any time I was where that man was, I was mum. I couldn't open my mouth. I never even tried to sing. Didn't try to testify. Preaching was clear out of the question. I never would have ventured that. And I couldn't pray. I just all tied up when I got in the presence of that man. Now that's bad. That's miserable. Some of you folks here are miserable this morning because you're in bondage to people. Kind of interesting the way the Lord worked to break that. I was at Monarch Springs and this man was there. And he had preached that morning, and the Lord burdened me with a message, and I never I thought, well, I couldn't preach it with him there, but it never occurred to me I'd be getting in his way. He'd already preached that morning, and there were about 50 ministers there, I think. So, I just didn't feel like I could get up in front of that man. And as the time for the evening service drew near, the burden was pressing down on me more and more, and I was pacing the grounds, and I was walking back and forth, and not having anything to say to anybody. And when the service started, I didn't go in. I just kept pacing the grounds, walking out there. Well, finally, about prayer time, I went in, and there was no place to sit up around the front, so I went around and sat on the backside of the platform, just on the floor. When we started to pray, this man left the tabernacle. I thought, I hope he doesn't come back. But he did. He came back before the prayer was over, and he came to me and handed me a roll. And he said, I'm not for sure that I'll get up tonight, but says if I do, I'd like for you to hang this chart up for me. Oh, you talk about being floored when I discovered that I was going to get in his way if I got up. That made it several times worse. And when they got up from prayer and someone called a song and my mind was a-whirling and I didn't notice what the song was, but when they began to sing, it is just my message right straight out. And it hit me with a real impact, and I said, all right, when that song's over, I'm going. I said, Lord, all I want now is for you to stand back of me. And I'm going. And I did. And this fellow sitting right there. And the Lord gave me liberty that night, and when the meeting was over, he walked up and took my hand, and he said, boy, why didn't you tell me you had a message like that? He said, here I come bringing this chart to you and asking you to hang it up if I got up, and I didn't know you had a message like that. Do you know that broke that thing, and from that time on, I was just as free around that man as anybody else, anywhere else. But I know from first-hand experience that being in bondage to people is a very trying thing. And it'll rob you and me of our liberties and of our usefulness and of help that we might be in the work of God and to souls. Just to be in bondage to people. An inferiority complex is a kind of a thing like this. And we're afraid to venture. Afraid we can't do something as well as someone else. What does it matter? If you can't do something as well as someone else, do it as well as you can. What does it matter if I can't do it as well as someone else? Or why should I fear? It's because of people. Now God knew and Paul knew. Paul didn't know at this time. Paul was used to just going out and doing what he had to do, doing his thing. And doing it in a big way. And he didn't know what this meant to him, but God knew what it meant to him. That he could not work effectually among a people that he hadn't been delivered from. That he was in bondage to. You can't either. I can't either. And we can't live effectually and exert an effective influence among people that we're afraid of and that we're in bondage to. Oh, folks, we need to seek God to deliver us from the people and to set us free. Now, what I'm saying is not to advocate a matter of independence and of setting yourself out separate from people and of making an island out of yourself and out of your life, but it is something that will equip and qualify us to blend right in with the fabric of humanity and be a help in the places where help's needed. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, we have the Apostle Paul beginning with verse 19. And he said, though I be free from all men. Now that's a great experience to just be free from all men. Free from everybody. But a servant unto Christ. You can't be a good servant unto Christ till you're free from everybody. And he said, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. You see, he was delivered from the people, all of them. And when he got delivered from all of them, then he could blend right in with all of them and help all of them in whatever kind of a condition they were in. This idea of I'll just say it simply, cliques and clans and groups and so on. It all comes from people who are too strongly attached to people and they aren't delivered from the people. People who are delivered from the people can fit in with one group as well as another and just flow right in and be a part of whatever's going on. But if we're kind of afraid of what these folks are going to think if I kind of associate with these folks, we're just killing our effectiveness and usefulness in the work of God. Folks, we need to be healed of some things along here. And we need to be delivered from some bondages to where we're just free with all men. Now, Paul said, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. Unto the Jews, as I became as a Jew. Look out now, Paul, these Gentiles are going to get kind of upset if you associate with these Jews. No, he was free from the Jews and the Gentiles too. And just from the people. And he could go over there and become as a Jew among those Jews that he might gain them. To them that are under the law. Now, Paul, you know you don't believe in the law system. You're preaching and teaching people against that. And what people going to think if you go and associate with these people that's under the law? No, he was just free from all of that. And he said, to them that are under the law, I became as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak. Oh, folks, when you and I can't bear with the weak, we need to be delivered from the people. We surely do. Paul said, to the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul was a very effective worker for God with all classes of people and in all kinds of needs and situations, fitting himself right in here and right in there, whatever the condition was, where he happened to be. But he never could have done this if God hadn't delivered him from the people to start with. He just got delivered from the people. Set free from the people. And then he was serving to all of the people. A person who is not delivered from the people is going to be limited in his operations, and he's going to be affected in his association with people. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, in verse 21, he said, observe all of these things. Now, he'd been giving him some very pointed instructions there about how he should teach and how he should be an example and how he should live among the people. And he said, observe all of these things without preferring one above another. Do nothing by partiality. Now, folks, you'll find this an impossible thing for you to fulfill unless you're delivered from the people. If people's got a hold on you and you're kind of under the influence of that kind of thinking, and what's these folks going to think, and what will these folks think, and if I do something and it turns out to not be the best thing, what's everybody going to think, and how about that? You're just going to be tied up in your operations. And you'll find it very difficult, if not impossible, to do what you do without partiality and without preferring one above another unless you're delivered from the people. When you're delivered from the people, then you can be all things to all men. Just helping everyone in his place. We have a song, one verse of it says, time is short and oh how fleeting, all who find its power to save have not time to watch the other till their faults become enslaved. Oh, folks, I'm afraid right here, there's a good number of folks right in this room needs to be delivered from the people. Enslaved to the faults of people. Can't be what we ought to be to people. Because we have our eyes on their faults and we're resenting them over something. Until you have been delivered from the people to the point that you don't resent them, you can't be a help to them. To their faults become enslaved. And sometimes people become so enslaved to people's faults that they can't see anything good about those people. Just their faults, that's all they can see. And they get affected in that way toward those individuals. Oh, we need to be delivered from the people when things affect us that way. And God's able to deliver us from the people same as He's able to deliver us from any other kind of sin, whatever it is. Or break the power of any kind of habit in our lives. He's able to deliver us from the people and set us free from our inferiority complexes and fearing whether this is going to be right or how that's going to turn out or If I say something, it's likely to not be the right thing, and so I won't say anything. And if I do anything, it may not turn out right, so I'm just going to sit back and not do anything. Folks, we need to get delivered from the people and get out there in a big territory where we can work for God and find some effectiveness in our work. God knew just how to equip this man and qualify him and prepare him for what he was sending him out to do. And the very first thing he did was deliver him from the people. Break the bondage that people had on him, that his old traditions had on him, and that the traditions of the elders had on him. Just break all of that loose and set him free to be the same to the Gentiles as he was to the Jews, and vice versa. Same to the weak as he was to the strong. Just break him loose to be all things to all men that he might gain some. Never could have done that if he had not have been delivered from the people. The fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians in verse 16, he says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Don't even know Christ after the flesh. Don't know any person after the flesh. Folks, when it comes to our association with people, and especially our relationship in the church and the family of God, we ought to lose sight of flesh and blood, and all our relationships should be in the Spirit. So they don't even know Christ after the flesh. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. The sixth chapter of Ephesians in verse 12, he says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." Oh, God help you and me to get all the flesh and blood out of our conflicts and out of our controversies. We wrestle too much sometimes against personalities. People, flesh and blood. Brother Trimble down in Pomona taught me one valuable thing. Several, but one that fits in here. And that was that we needed to learn to draw a line of difference between the sinner and his sins. And until we got to that point, we'd never help the sinner. His sins would keep gouging us and offending us and hurting us. But when we learned to draw the line of difference between the sinner and his sins, we could just set the sins off to one side and go after the man. He's the man we want to help. He's the man that needs help. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not battling a battle of personalities and of who's who and of what our connections are. Just break all the connections and then you can be all things to all men. We need victory over people and their faults if we expect to ever be able to help them. If we're stymied by their faults, and that's what we're looking at, we're just going to be backed off every time we try to make any move to help that individual. We're just stymied by their faults. I have my faults, but I'm not the only one in here that has faults, I think. Maybe some of the rest of you would have some too. But if all you see in me is just my faults, you won't be very interested in hearing me preach. And I wouldn't be very effective in preaching to you, would I? If all you're looking at is just my faults. We just need victory over people and over their faults, so we'll be able to help one another and be effective in our efforts to help one another. Sometimes there are people who really hold a key to a situation. They're the one, and maybe the only one, that can really break in on this thing. And yet, they are unable to step into the breach and close the gap because they do not have the victory over the people involved in the thing. That's bad. One brother minister, he had been in a denomination before he found the truth and came to the saints. And he told me how the presiding elder in that church in his district teamed up with the superintendent and they put him out of business. They put him down. His ministry wasn't accepted in his own church or anywhere else. Well, now that hurts. Don't think that wouldn't hurt. But he said in the course of time, the Lord laid his hand on that presiding elder. He came down critically ill and in a bad shape. And the other brethren, they were going and praying for him, and time and again they would go and visit him and pray for him. No results. Finally, this brother said the Lord spoke to him and says, "You hold the key to that situation. You go pray for him and I'll heal him." That's pretty hard to do, you know it. The man that had just put him out of business, silenced his ministry without cause, just through political maneuvering. That's pretty hard to do. But he said the Lord told him that, and he said, "I went over there and I prayed for that man and God healed him." But he had to get victory over the man first. The man that had mistreated him and done him this wrong, he had to get victory over him before he could be effective in stepping in the breach, closing the gap, and producing good results there. As long as we resent, fret, and chafe at an individual, we do not have the victory over him. If he's just still gouging us and we're still chafing, we need to be delivered from him. We need victory from him. It's only when we can feel pity and love and compassion toward him that we are delivered from him. As long as you feel resentment and chafing, all of that, you're not free from that man. But when you reach a point where you can commit that man to God and can only feel pity and love and compassion toward him, then you're delivered from him. And you're in a position that perchance you may be able to help him if he can be helped. And maybe you could be the best help he could get when you get the victory over him. It's victory over people that we need, and especially people that gouge us and chafe us and offend us. We need victory over those people, to where we can see them as a soul that Christ died for and go out to get that soul. Amen.